You wake up in the morning. Be aware of it. Hey, I'm here. I wake up. Take a deep breath. I think everything that we do in daily activity, you can use the technique of mindful.
This season, Ripples Physician Wellbeing will focus on the theme of facets of compassion. Compassion for self, others, and society. The Long School of Medicine Office for Graduate Medical Education utilizes a compassion course to combat feelings of imposter syndrome, guilt, or shame with challenging patient outcomes, as well as teaching mindset adjustments to promote higher self-kindness. For each facet of compassion, we'll provide you with an episode about recognizing when an instance can require grace and the pebble to activate it. We're happy you're with us. Let's create some ripples. So hello and welcome again to our second podcast in our series on compassion and really how to enhance those qualities in our personal lives, but also in the lives of those we interact with. I'm your host, Dr. John Crand, and I'm joined once again by my co-host, Dr. Veena Prasad. Welcome, Veena.
Yeah, I'm just so happy, John, that we are doing the second episode of Compassion Podcast.
Yes. So in our last episode, we talked about the aspects of grounding, resourcing, and tracking. Mm-hmm. So kind of some techniques to calm a busy and sometimes an overly stressed mind. And I liken this a little bit to deciding to build a house. And you pick out a plot of land and you realize you're going to have to remove the rocks and the thorny bushes and the cactus and all the other obstacles to get kind of a level space to build your house. And so today, we're going to talk about building the foundation on that house, which is mindfulness and meditation. And to do that, we've invited our wonderful guest, Dr. Kanha Cornsawad, to help us. Dr. Cornsawad is a associate professor of internal medicine and a member of the Division of Hospitalist Medicine. And also, if that wasn't enough, she's a certified life coach working mostly with physicians and young physicians. And finally, for the purposes of this podcast, she's a lifelong practitioner in meditation. So welcome, Kanha.
Thank you so much, John and Veena. I'm very excited. And to be honest with you, if my parents heard the lifelong meditation practice, they would be like, are you serious? She is.
Who are we talking about?
Exactly. But I'm so glad to be here. Very excited.
Good. Welcome.
Yeah, we are so honored to have you, Kanha. I know you say you may not be a lifelong meditator, but every time I see you, there's a tranquility on your face. So that probably comes because of meditation.
Yeah, thank you. Yes. I did practice when I was younger and when I was maybe like 6-7 years old, but during that time, like, I did not understand. Like, hey, what is that? Just let me sit and looking at things, breathe in and out. I always thinking about a lot of things. I want to go play with my friends and I have to do all this. But later in life, actually, this is something, the skill set or tool that I really appreciate it so much.
Yeah, that's probably what John was talking about, clearing all the things before you build a foundation, right? So yes. You already had a foundation. So, it's always, we talk about practicing mindfulness and meditation is the, in a way, groundwork for us to feel compassion towards others, towards ourselves, towards everybody. So can you talk to us about that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. I love it when you touch on compassion towards ourselves. Include that, because a lot of time when you think about compassion, you might think about, oh, compassion toward others. But I think the key also including yourself mm-hmm. in that. And if you think about compassionate living in every day of us, so you think about the feeling when you see someone suffering, right? And you're feeling like, oh, I want to help. I want to have some action. And this is something that I learned. I was just kind of leading through about definition of compassion. Mm-hmm. One thing that they're talking about would be noticing, feeling, and responding. So it is just beautiful when you touch on noticing. And how can we notice, right, if you don't have the basic of be able to, like, having practiced mindfulness? I think that's something that's beautiful, the ability to pay attention. You understand that, hey, that person is another human as well. and you yourself too. We all so hard on ourselves. We are so like self-criticism. Yes. I don't know that you guys think this is so true or not, but
very much so.
Yes.
Especially the population, physicians themselves are very self-critical.
Yeah, we are our worst critics for sure.
Yes, and once you kind of pay attention and non-judgmental, you pay attention, you have ability to be curious, open mind, and that's the groundwork that you have. And to get to be mindfulness, practice meditation, I think that just kind of go along quite well, and that's what we have been practicing before we can even have like compassion. And I think compassion is something that we can cultivate it. I was just watching the video on YouTube actually from Sharon Salzberg. She's a meditation pioneer.
Yes.
I'm sure you guys have heard of her.
Loving-kindness meditator, right?
Yes, she is. And it's amazing when she was talking about just like compassion is something that you can cultivate it, and it just you actually notice observing things. And that's already the basic of compassion, with mindfulness.
Yeah, very well said, Kana. Thank you.
So Kana, in our course, we talk about some of the components of ethical mindfulness being heedfulness, mindfulness, and awareness. Can you talk a little bit about those components and how they kind of work together?
Yeah, and I have to thank to all of you guys who actually introduced me. I learned about mindfulness, but when it comes to ethical mindfulness, and I just like, what is that? What does it mean? Mm-hmm. And with the three components, you talk about heedfulness, and heedfulness is something that you're aware of your actions that can harm others, and you're conscious about that, right? And we talk a little bit, we already touch on mindfulness, and that's something that you being understand your mind, you kind of know what you're thinking, you watch it, you understand your core value. And the last thing is the awareness. When I look at mindfulness and awareness, I feel like awareness is something that you're aware of your speech, your action, and mindfulness. You're actually aware of your thoughts. You know exactly what you're thinking. So all together will help you with making decision in terms of ethical mindfulness, being aware of what you do to affect others.
So it's the awareness that really starts this process in a way. We are aware of things around us, within us, right?
Yes.
So that brings me to a next question for you, Kana. So there is a metaphor that we talk about always for meditative practice. Mind is sometimes compared to an elephant, or in some, they also is compared to monkey mind versus monk mind. So I guess to do monk mind, it takes many years of practice. But let's stick with the elephant. So that's the mind. And then rope is a way of meditation that we kind of anchor it with a stake. That's the area of focus. And then we also, our mind, rational mind, as a metaphor for meditative practice, right? So explain that to us, please.
Okay. So when I think about that, you wake up in the morning.
Uh-huh.
The studies show that 47%, almost half of your thought actually wander. Your mind just wander around. So the other half, maybe you can focus, right? So then how can we actually increase that percentage? How would you do that? So if you imagine, I love the metaphor that you mentioned, talking about elephant. The elephant is just like so wild, want to go around, just like our mind, my mind right now, thinking about, oh my gosh, what I'm going to have for dinner. Even when we're talking, even like just like split second, you actually start like wander around.
Yes.
So that's what we talk about, elephant. So then you have the stick. You want to have something that to focus on, attention, your attention. And you have the rope to hold the tied elephant to the stick, right? So the rope is just your kind of meditation, your mindfulness. And you have the trainer who always kind of want to tap. If the elephant start to like walk around, go around, then the trainers try to tap. That's just your metacognition. I think that's what something to think about. You're using your mindfulness meditation to try to bring your mind back. And,
yes.
But of course, I think it's not easy, right? John, what do you think?
Some people say that your mind is going to wander and you're going to bring it back, and it's going to wander and you're going to bring it back, and then it's going to wander 1,000 times and you're going to bring it back 1,001 times. And I know a lot of people think that in doing that, they're failing, that they're somehow unable to meditate mm-hmm. because their mind keeps wandering. And oftentimes I remind those people, that's actually the practice. You're actually being successful when you notice that your mind's wandered and then you manage to bring it back. That itself is the practice. And so you're being successful. And the beautiful thing about meditation is the more you bring it back, the easier it becomes and the more likely it is to stay
yes.
in place.
That's the awareness, right?
When yes.
bringing awareness. This reminds me of an incident that a couple of years ago, I was working with an individual, anger management.
Mm-hmm.
So they have tried everything, and then they said, I really have so much anger, I don't know what to do about it. I said, how about 5 minutes of meditation every day on your way out from work? That individual thought, Dr. Prasad, really, 5 minutes? Okay, first day, very skeptical, we did 5 minutes of mindfulness. I said, how about tomorrow? 5 minutes, sure. And the third day, on intention, I did not call. I said, we don't need to. So 4:10, I get this text, are we not doing that thing? So I said, sure. And then I said, what made you come here? And the individual said, that monkey mind kind of was settling down. So after 2 weeks, they were able to do for 12 minutes. So even 30 seconds makes a difference in mindfulness, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
no, I
so
totally agree.
This is so interesting as you were talking about the metaphor. And I just think about it and say, oh my God, this is so profound. And I like the term you said, metacognition. That's
yes.
something we should always remember. And John, I would love for you to talk about your experience in the Omega Institute.
Oh, yeah. So I got to tell my story about my favorite T-shirt I've ever seen before. So I'm in a week-long, it's mindfulness-based stress reduction program at the Omega Institute, which is a beautiful place in upstate New York. Highly recommend it. And as I'm there, I see a guy walking with a T-shirt that said, I've meditated for 20 years. And all it got me was 2 seconds. And obviously those 2 seconds are between stimulus and reaction. So can you talk a little bit about that really essential aspect of meditation is helping give you those 2 seconds?
Yes. Well, 2 seconds. You might think, 2 seconds, oh, what do you mean? Like nothing there. But actually when you time it, I actually was timing myself. Hey, what can I do in 2 seconds? Actually, I can take a deep breath in and out. Pretty
yes.
quickly, and that's a space that you can have. And why it's important, I think it's so important because things that we do nowadays, we just kind of keep going like go, 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 go. And when someone say something that you are not happy about it mm-hmm. and make you angry, or even just someone like cut in front of you, you respond, and that in like split second.
Yes.
Yes. But if you take those time with 2 seconds, you can actually be able to kind of think through, pay attention, and be aware of things. And I think that's why meditation actually can help with increasing this gap, right? So you have your mind, you always respond. They call it amygdala brain.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just respond right away. But when you have meditation, your meditation have been proven, evidence-based, that it actually can affect your brain. They even did the MRI of people. I think that's what they
yes.
did through
mm-hmm.
with the monks. And it showed that actually it just helped you have this space in between. And I love one quote from Dr. Viktor Frankl.
Mm-hmm.
He's an Australian psychologist.
Austrian, yes.
Right?
Yes.
Austrian,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yes. And he was talking about between stimuli and response, there's a space. And in that space is our power to choose our response.
Yes.
In our response lies our growth and our freedom. I think just so powerful, beautiful said, with the space that we can choose what to do.
Yes. We have to choose response versus reaction, right? That's the space that we
yeah.
need to develop. Oh, beautifully said. Kana, you wear so many hats. And you're a physician and a hospitalist, right?
Yes.
So there must be some tense moments. And then you also work as a coach, and I'm sure sometimes you do take some of the trauma when people talk with you.
Mm-hmm.
And also you're part of the compassion course. So there are so many things you do. I'm sure there are times like it just gets overwhelming, I'm sure, with mm-hmm. with how life is. So please tell us about, you know, mindfulness and meditation. How has that helped you in grounding and then getting up in the morning, doing your thing and moving on?
Yes, I can also put on another hat. I don't think I have enough hats. You don't give me enough hats. I need another
one more
hat, right?
Give you.
One more hat. A hat of a patient myself. So I think mindfulness, I kind of jokingly with you all about my parents, we would laugh at me because when I was younger, I kind of practiced meditation, but did not understand much. But later in life, when I mentioned early on, you know, meditation and mindfulness practice, not only when you're angry or you're upset that it will help you, but when it's times of uncertainty, it's yes. actually definitely helped you. And during those times, I'm talking about when I was having a kidney failure, then my kidney is not working, so then I start build up toxin, and mm-hmm. my body respond one way, but my mind respond so badly. As a physician, you know, nervous, you think about everything. I can't even think of sitting here. I was just thinking about in the past. Oh, I should have done this. I should have done that. Maybe I shouldn't do this. That's why maybe I get sick because of that. Mm-hmm. And in the future, what's going to happen to me? Am I going to be able to come back and be a doctor ever again? What's next? So your mind is just like even more than a monkey. I was just like thinking all day long. And meditation actually be part of the things that I start practicing. Besides being able to focus, I also be able to be there with all the symptoms that I have. I'm aware of it. I have cramps. I can't brush my teeth. Yes, I have cramps. I'm cramping right now. Just be aware of it. Sometimes I feel pain so much at nighttime, I couldn't sleep. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have this. Not that all the symptoms are going to be away or gone with the meditation or mindfulness, but you just notice that it's there. It actually helped me in the certain uncertain time in my life as well.
Yes, yeah. I have also read that with chronic pain, if you're mindful, the chronic pain, you're able to handle it better. Maybe that talks about how being aware is you don't react to it, rather than you look at it and mm-hmm. then deal with it, right? You know, so far we have had some wonderful conversation with you, right, John? It's been so
amazing.
Interesting, yes. So we ask all our guests before, at the end of the podcast, to leave us with a pebble and then a technique. You could, anything you choose. So even if somebody is listening, they don't listen to all of it, but they would be able to practice just that technique that we call it as a pebble.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what would be something that
no
you
pressure.
Could teach us?
No pressure. Just give me like take home point right now, right?
Exactly.
Okay. So one thing that I can think of, because when you think about meditation or mindfulness, some people might be like, oh, maybe it's too hard for me. I can't do it. I don't have time. This is a lot of people who are like, I don't have time for that. 1 minute? Nah, I don't have time. I actually do something that I think can be helpful. Mm-hmm. Will be like you wake up in the morning. Be aware of it. Hey, I'm here. I wake up. Take a deep breath. I'm walking to the bathroom. Be aware of the walk. Okay. Brush your teeth. I'm brushing my teeth. Be aware of it. And even eating, I think you might heard about like weight loss, right? Even eating, be mindful.
Mindful eating.
Yeah, mindful eating. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you heard of that. I think everything that we do in daily activity, you can use the technique of mindful. Maybe not full meditation. If you can do that, that's great. If you cannot, maybe you can start with that. Hey, pay attention. You're driving. Sometimes it's so autopilot. I'm going to go to work. Oops, I'm supposed to go to the clinic. No, you're supposed to go to the hospital. Oh, my gosh, I forgot. So that's something that happened to all of us sometimes, like autopilot. So I think bring that to the things that you do without feeling like this is something, another thing that I have to do, another burden. No, it's something that you can actually apply in everything you do in life.
You know, I love that example. And when I use, I talk about washing dishes as doing that as a mindful action. But what's neat is that sometimes if you do it enough, then even if you're not thinking about being mindful, mm-hmm. you start doing the dishes and you instantly convert into being mindful. So at one point you're using mindfulness on washing the dishes, but in another example, the dishes actually remind you to be mindful. And so that's a really neat interplay between those two.
Yeah, yes. I love that because my husband loves it. Like, oh, you're going to meditate, wash your dish again? Wash your dishes. Yes, that's a technique.
It's a wonderful one.
Yeah. So basically you're saying whatever we do, being mindful while eating, while driving, while walking, be aware is what our take-home message.
That's definitely, I think that's just a nice summarize from you, Veena. Yes.
Thank you so much, Kanna. It's just been such a pleasure.
Absolutely.
Thank
You've
you
built
so
a very nice foundation today.
Oh, yeah, thank you so much. I hope my house is not collapsed.
Ripple's Physicians Wellbeing is made possible by the Joe R. and Teresa Lozano Long School of Medicine Office for Graduate Medical Education. To contact us or learn more about the Wellness Home, visit gmewellness.utesca.edu.
This podcast is inspired by the Dalai Lama's powerful quote, "Just as ripples spread out when a single pebble is dropped into water, the actions of individuals can have far-reaching effects." We provide physicians with pebbles, tangible and actionable practices that can help make positive impacts in their personal and professional lives.